T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I have a good memory. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
LeBron James, is he the greatest?
Went 94 feet, did a Euro step, made a right-hand layup timeout. There you go.
You like that?
Dale Arnold.
Oh, he's got a unique voice.
I've heard it since I was in like seventh grade.
Hey, hey, hey!
So it's something that I've kind of embraced. Just being comfortable with yourself. I mean, it's me. It's who I am.
Down at Fraggle Rock. Down at Fraggle Rock.
Rich Keefe. Dale and Keefe. Middays. On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
That's got to be the first Fraggle Rock reference in the history of sports radio.
We've had it a while ago. That's what I said about Patrick Mahomes, right? I said he sounds like
no,
a Fraggle.
No, but we haven't played anything from
no,
Fraggle
not yet.
Rock.
We should.
Well, we just did.
We should. One of the classics.
Spoiler, there's something coming up later.
Oh, spoiler
uh-oh.
Alert.
Does Patrick Mahomes have a diet that consists only of radishes? If so, you know he's a Fraggle. That's all they eat.
We were just doing times gone by references in the office a few minutes ago.
Yes,
and we were all trying to remember when you used to have to blow in the game controller for Nintendo or Xbox or something.
Yes, that's 2 days ago for me. I'm still hooked up. If I want to play Tyson's Punch Out, you just gotta blow in the cartridge a little bit, then you're good to
and
go.
And then you have to like put it in halfway and bring it back out,
jam it
and
right
jam
down
it
the front.
Back in. Yeah.
And then it works every time though. It's great. It still works.
Sometimes worked every time. But
yeah. Well, as you're watching Fraggles,
sometimes didn't.
Takes you right back.
Did you ever play and watch Fraggles at the same time?
It sounds like my dream. That's heaven on earth. If those two
with
things
a good craft beer,
yeah, oh, gosh,
to just
yeah.
sort of top it all off, and your dog at your side. Oh my God, he's died and gone
to
heaven.
That's
We're trying
it.
To get 4 hours out of
no,
him.
No, I'm going to walk. Please. That's it. That's the best. That's the best thing in the world. I can't think of a better scenario than that. I might try to duplicate it tonight. That's the plan.
This is a rhetorical question.
I'll answer it anyway.
It's a rhetorical question for you. It's a real question for everybody else because I already know your answer.
Fair enough.
Is there such a thing as having a wide receiver who's too high maintenance?
You know my answer.
I know yours. It's a rhetorical question for you.
Of course not.
Is there a point you get to where you go, you know what, he's great, but boy, this just isn't worth it.
There's a lot there. And by worth it, you mean, I don't know, $90 million? Is
yeah,
that what
well,
you mean
that
last
too,
night?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is there's a lot going on with the New York Giants, but I think the biggest part is the quarterback's not good anymore. Or was he ever good? I don't know. Maybe he blacked out in a couple of playoff runs and was really good in those playoff games.
He was
games.
Good in two really good games that
he
I
was.
Can remember.
He was.
I saw somebody tweet it out today.
Yeah.
His career record is now 112 and 108.
Yeah, that wow. So, I mean, yeah, he's a 500 quarterback, and yet he has two Super Bowl wins.
I remember them.
Yes.
I was sitting in Glendale, Arizona for one of them.
One of them against what could have been the greatest team of all time. Eli Manning got a win.
No, well, I guess they couldn't because they
were on their way.
They would have been the greatest team of all time if they had finished the job.
They were like 5 minutes away from being the greatest football team or maybe the greatest team, professional sports team of all time, and Eli Manning has a win over them. Eli Manning is, to me, sort of on the line. Like, he's like an average quarterback. I don't know if he was ever a top 10 quarterback in the league.
And now he's below average.
Below average.
If you're the New York Giants, don't you have to be thinking about getting Kyle LaLetta ready to go?
Yes, absolutely. But then the question becomes, remember last year how outrageous it was? Their team was terrible. Their team, what'd they go? They have 3 or 4 wins last year. And they benched Eli Manning, who had this long streak. Because one thing you can say about Eli Manning is he's durable.
He shows up.
He plays. Yeah, I mean, since his second year, I guess even his rookie year, he took over later on in the year to Kurt Warner. And then he's good for 16 games every year. He's like his brother. He's like Tom Brady. He's playing 16 games every year. They bench him. So they end this streak, which everybody's excited about. But they made the mistake of putting in Geno Smith. Like
that was not such a good move.
But remember, the football world lost their minds.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, Eli Manning,
what are you doing?
How are you going to bench Eli Manning? Like, well, he's not good anymore. And you can even argue, how good was he? Like, he has a couple of really clutch throws in his career. He does. You can't take that away from him. I think the defenses were better than the offenses in both of those Super Bowls.
Yes.
But hey, it's a team game.
Michael Strahan says hi.
Yeah, right. A team game, though. So, yep. So that all counts. But right now, I mean, it's not working. How old is he, by the way? Is he 37? He's
37.
He feels like it when he's out there. He can't get it done. He's not that good. And right now, he's even worse.
Right now he has the 10th highest quarterback cap hit in the league? And his cap number
is not a top 10 quarterback.
Is 5.2 million more than any other Giant. His cap number.
Ugh. Even Beckham?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess. Yeah, he's a quarterback money. But the last two seasons, he's 4-17 as a starter. Like, what are you doing there? And they have, and I know he can be a bit high maintenance. They have one of the five best wide receivers in the NFL. Did you watch Saquon Barkley, some of his moves last night? Holy smokes. That guy is electric. He's like if Reggie Bush was more durable, stronger, or actually he's like Reggie Bush in college but in the pros. Like that's what it seems like.
Making a cut. Good night. He's gone. No flags. Touchdown Giants. A 50-yard touchdown carry. 204 total yards on the night for number 26.
He's awesome. He's so fun to watch. Beckham's fun to watch.
He's got the cheat codes.
It does. I mean, it really does. I mean, some of the moves that he made, like he's jumping over guys. Now they were comparing him last night to Barry Sanders a little bit. Seems strong. Like I don't know if we're there yet, but I think you know because a lot of people are like, oh, they should have drafted a quarterback because they had the number 2 pick. Yeah, but then you wouldn't have had this guy. Like they need to find a quarterback. But I think Saquon Barkley was the right pick. You have a guy who was emerging as a great running back. You have a great wide receiver. You need to find a quarterback, which we know is very difficult. But I'll tell you what, it's not Eli Manning. It's time to say goodbye to him, whether you're benching him or getting rid of him.
Let me give you a couple of interesting numbers, courtesy of Dan Duggan of The Athletic.
All right.
Since the last Giants Super Bowl win. Ugh. In the 6-plus seasons since then,
yes,
the Giants are 43-59 with no playoff wins. The only person from that team still on the roster is Zach Diassi. They've gone through a general manager, a coach twice, and the entire roster except Zach Diassi since the last Super Bowl.
So win. Zach, well, and Eli Manning. So
that's what I'm saying. Other than Eli, that's it.
Yikes. Yeah, no, and they've been bad. I mean, they had that one year, 2016, they went 11-5. But for the most part, they are an under 500 team. I mean, it's got to be Eli Manning. Like, enough's enough. Like, he's not getting done. Now, they have other issues, too. Like, they're not 1-5 solely because of the quarterback. But it makes you sick to think about, you know, the Patriots have a lot of Super Bowls. They do. Like, so, you know, you don't want to get too greedy, I suppose, Dale. But
no, I do.
How do you lose to Eli Manning twice? Not once, but twice. He stinks. Now, the question always comes up, you know, will he be a Hall of Famer? And, you know, if you win two Super Bowls, you're probably in the Hall of Fame as a quarterback. But he really shouldn't be. I mean, he led the league in interceptions multiple times. He had a year after winning Super Bowls where he threw 27 interceptions. 27 picks!
That's like three seasons for Brady.
And you're like, oh, did he have 50 touchdowns that year? No, he had 18. Like, he's not a good quarterback. He drives me nuts.
Now,
but I don't know what they're going to do.
Even saying that he's the biggest issue they have and they should cut bait, all that stuff.
Yes.
Is it still worth putting up with Odell Beckham Jr.?
Yes, it is.
Well,
yes,
he's
amazing.
He was dehydrated.
Yeah, he's dehydrated. You ever been dehydrated? How did you feel?
He had to get IVs.
Yeah.
I think he unretired just after the second half kickoff.
No, I think what he wanted to do was get a head start on it. So he's like, hey, halftime's only 15 minutes. I need more time.
I need a little.
Yeah, get in there.
I'm going to take a couple of bags of stuff.
Not the end of the world. What do you want him to do? He needs to get ready for the second half. He was hoping for a big comeback. You know, that it didn't happen necessarily. But he's a lot to deal with, but he is so good. His talent, to me, is still worth it. I mean, I know he can be a headache.
I love diva players anyway.
Love them.
You do. And I understand that you know there are times when divas are worth it. Randy Moss was a diva.
Worth every penny.
But when he was here, for the most part, he was not an issue. He was not a distraction.
Brown seems like a spaz, and he's great. Like the Steelers, without him, how much worse would they be? It's a lot. The other problem, though, is I think you can have one or two of these guys on your team, but then the rest of your leadership needs to be there. Like, I don't think Odell Beckham, well, I think it's very clear, does not respect Eli Manning. Whereas the Patriots, anytime a guy comes in here, like Randy Moss, or although Josh Gordon's not, that's a different label altogether with him, but anytime a guy comes in here, that's Tom Brady. And that's Bill Belichick. That's not Eli Manning, who you don't even think should be a starter. So I'm not trying to make excuses for Beckham, but just the point is, what's the leadership like, and how much do you look up to the team's starting quarterback?
You think about it, too, and we always have these discussions every offseason. As Bill Belichick lets this player leave and that player leave, we always say, oh, my God, what is he thinking? And then, you know, as time goes by and you look back on it and you say, he doesn't really mess too many of these up.
No.
He probably didn't mess up Nate Solder.
No. Does not appear to be.
I mean, he's not the only issue. That offensive line reeks.
Yeah, the offensive line is bad. But, yeah, between Solder, who, again, you get to see, Malcolm Butler, who, I mean, he's been getting torched this year. There's a lot of guys, the old year too early, but not even a year too early, like the exact time.
Yeah.
Like, because they got a pretty good year out of Nate Solder. And then
he cashed in.
He did.
Good for him. Happy for him.
Right? But they
don't, you know what?
They don't like
him in New York. Patriots improved at left tackle.
Yeah, probably. I mean, Brown's really only been beat a couple of times this year that he can remember.
Well, because it takes so long to get around him.
He's a big fellow, isn't he?
He's a large man.
He's a big guy, but even his conditioning has been better than a lot of people anticipated. So, yeah, he's been pretty good. The offensive line has not been a problem. And really, the last couple of weeks, the offense has been no problem. They've been lighting it up.
So that's the obituary. We will talk with Michael Irvin from the NFL Network at 11:30 or so. He was, you know, there to see it like we all saw.
Yeah, a couple of division
night.
Rivals for Irvin to take a look at Philly.
He was rooting for both of them to lose.
Well, Philly needed that win, too. Philly was off to a rough start. They were 2-3, sort of that Super Bowl hangover. Wentz hasn't been great. And so that looked more like the Philly team that you were used to. Also, part of it, I think the Giants are just trash. I mean, they're 1-5 now and things just getting worse.
I wonder what they're going to do. I mean, everybody's writing it. Ian O'Connor wrote it. Dan Duggan wrote it. Everybody's saying Eli's done.
Yeah.
You got to make a move. And, of course, the irony here is last year everybody was up in arms because he got benched for a game.
Now they're like, please bench him.
No, now they want them to cut him. Because if you do bench him, can you keep him?
I don't think so.
Can Eli Manning,
can he be the backup?
With a cap hit, $5.2 million, then the second highest cap hit on the Giants, be the backup quarterback? That'd be like benching Brady for Garoppolo here.
But what a way to end your career.
Except Kyle Lalletta isn't Jimmy
would
Garoppolo.
Would anybody want him? Would any
Eli?
Team want him? Because I think a year ago, when
I would guess no.
That's what I don't think. Why would they? Because I think a year ago, before he had all these bad games piling up back to back to back to back, teams like Jacksonville or, you know, Denver before they got their guy, you know, some of those teams may have taken a chance and said, hey, we know he's not great, but he's an upgrade over what we have, and the rest of the team around us is really good. But those teams, I don't know if those teams exist anymore, you know, because Alex Smith and Kirk Cousins and all those guys have found a team, and then the other ones are invested in their young guy. Sam Darnold's a starter, Josh Rosen's a starter, Baker Mayfield's a starter. Like, all those guys are starting, so you're not going to say, ooh, we can get Eli Manning? Like,
we're good.
If they cut him, like, that might be it. He might be done, which is amazing.
I think he might be done.
Wow. I love it.
I think he is.
I'm not a fan of the Mannings, that would be amazing.
He has hit the Max Kellerman cliff.
Yeah, this is what the cliff looks
this
like.
This is it. Max has been talking about the cliff, not about Eli, but about Tom, obviously.
No.
We've now seen what the cliff actually looks like.
Yeah.
Max should maybe take a look.
Yeah, I think he should. Now, the truth is, I don't know if Eli was ever really good. Like, when was he? Now, he's made 4 Pro Bowls. But that's kind of crap. Let's be honest.
I mean, let's be honest. Like, 8 quarterbacks make the Pro Bowl
because
in each conference.
Brady makes it every year and says,
he
no thanks.
He is going to fall off a cliff.
Yeah, right.
So they have to replace him every year. Like, Vince Young was a Pro Bowl quarterback. Like, everybody makes it. If you're healthy at the end of the year and say you'll fly to Hawaii, all of a sudden you're a Pro Bowler. So he's played like 1,000 years in the league, and he's only a 4-time Pro Bowler.
I seem to have fallen down a cliff.
Yeah, that would be Eli. And so, done. This is how it ends. This is what it looks like for Eli Manning. 2-time Super Bowl champion Eli Manning gets torched last night on Thursday Night Football.
And aren't we at the point now where we pretty much have to acknowledge that it was not Eli Manning who led the Giants to those Super Bowl wins? It was Tom Coughlin.
It was Tom Coughlin, and it was Michael Strahan, and it was OCU Manura, and it was that defensive line.
It was Coughlin who put
that
whole thing together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if you want to talk about a system quarterback, they use that term a lot to try to, you know, mock Tom Brady.
They do.
You're looking at the guy in New York who basically, I think what Coughlin said was, just don't screw it up.
I think Eli made...
This defense will be fine.
Yeah.
Just don't hand the ball away.
He made one really good throw.
It was
the Manningham throw. The other one was luck.
No, that was total luck.
The other one was
the helmet catch.
I've seen it probably a million times, give or take. And I still don't understand how it was completed. Like, there was defense. It was
ask Rodney Harrison too.
David Tyree's never, I don't think, played a game again, let alone made a catch. He was a special team. That'd be like heaving it up to Matthew Slater, having him pin it against his head while you have a Pro Bowl safety trying to rip your arm. It makes no sense. We don't need to relive that. But the Manningham throw, I give him credit for. That was a really good throw in the second Super Bowl. But so in two games, you make one throw. I mean, you got a really good defense. You had a really good head coach, but. You look at his career, it is underwhelming. I mean, the most impressive thing about it,
and you know what?
He's healthy.
And people are going to talk about him as being a Hall of Fame quarterback.
I'm out on that.
Because of two Super Bowls, they're going to say, well, you know.
He probably gets in.
Yeah.
But really take a look at the old numbers there. He should not be a Hall of Famer. Again, in this day and age, the most impressive thing he did was start every game from 2005 until he got benched in 2017. That is impressive. Even Tom Brady goes down with an ACL injury and misses a whole year. Eli Manning stayed healthy that whole time. That's impressive. But he's a very average quarterback.
He is 112 and 108 with a career quarterback rating of 83.7.
Average.
That screams Hall of Fame to you?
It does not scream anything.
Two Super Bowls does for a lot of people,
right.
Even though we don't think he had tons to do with either Super Bowl.
And what's amazing, too, and I mean, again, he has two Super Bowl rings, so I guess you have to give him that. But those are the only 2 years that he even won a playoff game. Isn't that remarkable? Like, he went 4-0 in two postseasons, and then he went 0-4 in four other postseasons. It's like he made a deal with the devil. It's like for 2 years, like, hey, like, I'll do whatever. I'll sell my soul. I'm going to be really good this postseason. Then every other year, he was just Eli Manning.
345 touchdown passes, 232 interceptions for his career. And as you said, 1 year he's actually led the NFL in interceptions three times.
Yeah, he sucks.
With 20, 25, and 27.
27 interceptions.
But as you said, he did have 18 sweet touchdown passes
that's true.
That
Those
year.
Were all big. In the four losses that he had in the playoffs, he had seven interceptions and three touchdowns. I mean, yikes. But then again, won two Super Bowls. I don't understand it. And against two great teams. It's absolutely bizarre.
Well,
the greatest ever.
Celestial team. He beat that. Well,
yeah.
The Giants beat that team.
Right.
And what you've got to set up for is the Sunday night football game here. Featuring a kid who got off like a meteor out of the blocks.
Yeah, this guy's great.
I had six touchdown passes in a game. Now, the last couple of games, he's kind of come back to earth a little bit. One touchdown pass, two interceptions combined in the last two games.
But I would say a couple of touchdown runs in there.
Yep.
Also,
one in each game.
A fourth quarter comeback in Denver, which is still pretty impressive. I know the Broncos aren't, you know,
so
this
good.
Great team, but still going into Denver.
Is that the team
as
that would sign Eli, actually?
No, I think they're probably happy with Keenum, right? Or I don't know if they're happy with him, but they'd probably keep him.
Yeah.
And then... Jacksonville, a good Jacksonville defense, beats them. So I wouldn't expect these gaudy numbers.
I mean, as a quarterback,
numbers.
You like to throw touchdowns.
Who's
I mean,
this?
I just like to stretch the field and throw it deep a lot.
Who's this guy? Who's that gentleman?
That I have to learn, and I'm learning as this preseason went on, and hopefully
I'd give anything if we could get tape of him saying dozer. Because if we could just hear him say dozer.
Somebody's had to have made him say dozer at some point.
By the way, a texter who apparently watches as much Fraggle Rock as you did.
Yes.
Said red is hot.
Red is hot.
Well,
Let's
I mean,
be honest. Red was very hot.
It's a cartoon character here.
Doesn't mean she's not hot.
Of course, Jessica Rabbit was a cartoon character,
yep,
too.
So there you go. Think about that. Think about that for a minute. Anyway.
I think... We'll do this as the day goes along. I think the Patriots are going to win this thing. And I think they're going to win it by like two touchdowns.
Oh, Dale. Two touchdowns?
Yep.
The Chiefs are 5-0. I don't know if you've heard this.
I've heard that. They've
Patrick Mahomes.
They've actually done that sort of thing a lot the last few years.
They have. You like the Patriots defense against the Chiefs?
I like the mad chemist with 10 days to prepare.
There is a little bit of that. He does have 10 days to prepare, but he had all offseason to prepare last year for the Chiefs, and they came in here and blew doors.
You've got me.
I think, you know, Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, everybody knows the names. But the difference here is Patrick Mahomes can do everything, it seems like. You know, Alex Smith,
I think they're going to make it difficult for him to have time to find all those guys. That's where
maybe.
I think.
Yeah, maybe.
And they've had a tendency to kind of dial things up at times, get exotic with blitz packages. Now, I know that you've got a first-year, quote-unquote, defensive coordinator. He doesn't have the title.
No, he does not.
Where Belichick and the defensive staff, I think, get real creative.
Yeah, I wonder if they have the personnel for it. Like, they have to get creative. I trust Stephon Gilmore. I like Trey Flowers when he's out there.
Yep.
But everybody else, like, I look back at, you know, just last week, Eric Ebron, who's the second tight end on the Colts because Jack Doyle is hurt. So they go with Eric Ebron, who is dropping passes in the first half and yet still finishes the game over 100 yards. You have two touchdowns. And now you're going up against Travis Kelce, who outside of your own practice is the best tight end you're ever going to face.
Guy Patrick Chung has played against every practice of his life.
Yeah, true. So he's got that going for him. But Kelce a little bit quicker, a little faster than Gronk. So it's a different matchup.
We got a lot of stuff we'll get to throughout the course of the day. As we said, we will talk with the playmaker Michael Irvin at 11:30. Sometime in the 11 o'clock hour, it's a little up in the air right now, we will talk with Devin McCourty as the Patriots get ready to host the Kansas City Chiefs. Noon 30 today, Kiefer Madness, our
Week in Review. Woo-wee! We got some stuff.
And I did notice we've had a couple of requests already. We now take requests on sports radio. We had a request for Carlito's theme music on Falls Count Anywhere Friday.
Carlito?
I know. It was.
We don't have to, you know, take all requests.
Well, we had another request on Twitter.
Oh, I heard.
That was asking for some keys.
I left them at the office. I'd take them right off.
I set you up for this whole thing.
I left them at the
office. You were so cocky when you sat down.
No,
you said, I brought my headphones. I moved my coffee out of the way.
I spilled the coffee today. It's been a good day. Falls Count Anywhere Friday. Yeah, I think Pat's Chiefs. There you go. I think we get some keys to that game. It's a big game.
And we got a lot of baseball to talk about.
Yes, we do.
As we go along. Thank goodness they finished this thing off, the ALDS in four, because they'd have been playing tonight. Last night, I don't think they'd have been able to play.
Oh, you mean, right. Yeah, good point.
They wouldn't have been able to play last night. They'd have been playing tonight at Fenway Park.
Right.
Thankfully, they've been able to get themselves ready for tomorrow night, the ALCS with the Houston Astros. We'll talk about that as we go along as well.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Talk about, like, in basketball, like LeBron James, you know, people have this two sides of LeBron James. Is he the greatest, or he doesn't perform in the playoffs? LeBron James is a pretty good player, you know, and I really don't believe in stuff like that. I just believe that there's, you know, guys that execute, you know, and there's guys that don't. But as far as like clutch and showing up or not, I don't know. It's the same thing. It's just a different spotlight, you know. Now everybody's watching. It's only two games a day and everybody's paying attention. But I'm not a big believer of like he's clutch, he's not clutch, or I don't believe in that.
Mick Foley has one of the best entrance tunes of all time.
Good entrance tune. Yeah, I was very
distracted. The car crash first, and then
bang, bang.
As soon as he said LeBron James, you tuned him out.
I was like, what?
As soon as he said the words LeBron James, Keith went, oh, no. Come on.
No, I don't like that. So I like Alex Cora.
LeBron James.
I do not like LeBron James.
Heard that.
So do not make me defend LeBron James. Is he trying to compare LeBron to David Price?
LeBron James.
So he struggles in the playoffs? Yeah, I wish that he did. He does not. He took a crap team to the NBA Finals, like his second or third year in the league. His first year making the playoffs, which I think was his second year, LeBron averaged 31 points per game in the playoffs. How is that like David Price? What is he talking about?
LeBron James. You know, people have this two sides of LeBron James. Is he the greatest, or he doesn't perform in the playoffs?
Also not true. What is he talking about?
He performs in the playoffs.
He does!
I will respectfully disagree with the manager of the Boston Red Sox. Not only is there clutch...
Oh, it exists.
There's a guy in your organization who might epitomize clutch.
Right, Cora played with him.
And we've seen what clutch looks like. Yeah, we've seen it.
Clutch is, I believe in clutch. Maybe that could be a Dale and Keith
what
t-shirt.
The sabermetrician's claim is that you can't quantify it. You
what
can't
Keith,
stick
what
a number
Keith
on
Law
it.
Say about
oh,
Clutch? That
don't
coward,
even get you
that
started.
That spineless coward. What would you say, Keith Law? No, but there's definitely Clutch.
I think the magnetometer.
Well, actually, speaking of Clutch.
If we carry the four.
It does not exist.
Divide by three.
No, here's the deal. There is Clutch. It exists. There's also guys who play
right
better.
You can see it there, of the neighboring particles.
Did you notice that Rossi is sometimes in 3-second delay?
Hey, Dale, it's a hard job back there. That's a cheap shot. It's,
we did it live
cheap,
already, Rossi.
That's a cheap shot, Dale.
This isn't just some operation where no. I just hit a magical button.
No,
there's
no.
My eyes
are
involved.
Oh, no, I've heard Callahan yelling at Sock Puppet. He thinks that if he thinks it, it comes out of the it comes out of the speaker.
And how did he know I was going to bring up Keith Law?
My shot back to you guys is I didn't know I was working with OMF here. That, you know, you just
I didn't say
assume.
A word. I didn't say a word. That's a difficult job. I couldn't do it. But my point is there are guys, and it's very clear. You can go through the history in every sport. Some guys play better in the postseason. Some are worse. And then, yeah, there are some guys that do take it as another game. And, you know, you look at their stats, and they're pretty similar. But there are a lot of examples of guys that step up and are even better. The Red Sox, again, Curt Schilling, John Lester, great examples of that.
We've
but then there
it.
Are guys that do go the other way.
Maybe it's one on your pitching
yes,
staff.
Yes, I don't know how.
LeBron James.
No, not LeBron James. He's not one of those guys. I wish he was. Celtics fans wish that he was one of those guys that was terrible in the playoffs. The reality is he is not. But David Price is. David Price is one of those guys. It doesn't matter what team he is on. It doesn't matter what team he is playing against. It doesn't matter what round it is in. It doesn't matter what the ballpark is. He is bad in the playoffs. And even a couple of his good starts, you go back and you can find a couple of good starts. He got out-dueled on the other side, right? And so sometimes when your ace, and David Price has been the ace or co-ace on his team every year of his career, right? I mean, since once he got really established with the Rays, he's been the ace or co-ace. So sometimes you're going to have to out-duel the other guy. So in game two, he's going up against Garrett Cole. You can't expect 16 runs. You can't expect 8 runs. You might not be able to expect 4 runs. Garrett Cole is that good, so it's going to have to be a low-scoring game. So even if you give up 3 runs, so like let's say, Dale, 6 innings, 3 runs in a vacuum, you hear that for David Price. You say, hey, that's pretty good.
Yep.
But if Garrett Cole's going 6 shutout, it's not good enough. And that's
why it may not be good enough, but it doesn't mean he was bad.
No, he's not bad, but you're looking – I mean, I guess you're taking baby steps with him. You'll take anything after the second inning, to be honest. You want to stay in the game. You want to make sure that you stay in the game. But to say, I don't understand the LeBron comparison at all, or even anybody else it's one thing if Price had 4 starts in the playoffs and 3 of them were bad. And you're like, well, he had one good one. And, you know, we think the guy's in there. We think the regular season guy's going to show up. How can you say that now? There's been too many appearances.
We saw Pablo Sandoval have a couple of really impressive playoff years.
Oh, my God. He was
and then
incredible.
Show up here and...
They're the polar opposite
look
guy.
Like the star of Fraggle Rock.
We never got a chance to see Pablo Sandoval in the playoffs because that's why they signed him. He could play in the playoffs for whatever reason.
It's the only reason they signed
yes.
him, I think.
Now, they couldn't get there because he was so bad in the regular season it didn't help him get to the playoffs. But Pablo Sandoval, yeah, that's a good example. Even though everybody here can't stand the guy and he was a bust. But for San Francisco...
Oh, in the playoffs and World Series, he was a beast.
He was awesome. Like, pedestrian numbers in the regular season. And then the playoffs, I don't know what it was. Like, David Freese. Remember
Mark
him?
Bellhorn.
Yeah, there were guys.
Mark Bellhorn did nothing. And all of a sudden, you get to the playoffs and
dingers.
Off he's going.
No, but David Freese, wasn't he a World Series MVP? And he was a very average player. But all of a sudden,
now,
he
might not be clutch. He just might have hit a hot streak.
Yeah, he hit a hot streak at the right time. You know, that's pretty good.
I mean, Ortiz was clutch.
All the time.
We had
just
lots.
About
we had
about,
a,
yeah.
a large sample size.
Right.
Doesn't mean you get a hit every single time, but it means that
that's pretty good.
You do better than most do in that position.
Yeah, right. But I think if – I don't know if Cora believes in that. I think that he should. I mean, he saw David Ortiz up close. Like, so I think he has to believe in that. But so if you do, if you think guys can turn – if they can get more either extra motivation or whatever you want to call it, the flip side has to be true, too. Some guys just psych themselves out. And the more bad starts, the more bad outings, I can only imagine there's more pressure on Price. Like yesterday we were talking about, well, if you pitch game 4, maybe the series comes down to him and there's more pressure compared to game 2. Nope, I don't buy it. I think every start that he has going forward, there's a lot of pressure on him because he's thinking about that Yankee start, or he's thinking about the Cleveland start, or he's thinking about whatever. Like, I think it's just so in his head that I don't know how you can expect anything good.
I believe in clutch. I think that, and by the way, I don't think if David Price suddenly comes up with a good performance Sunday night in game two, he becomes clutch. It means he came up with a good performance.
No, that's true.
I mean, Derek Lowe, for a playoff run, was clutch.
He won
all of the deciding games.
That's wild.
Now, it doesn't mean that he suddenly, you know, discovered the clutch gene. For that year,
yeah,
he was clutch.
Yeah, right, because, you know, you need more than one example, I guess, of it, right? So, like to your point, like, if Price pitches well, it's not like, hey, he's got it figured out. Like, all of a sudden, this guy stepped up. Like, no, he's due. Like, he hasn't, because he is a good regular season pitcher. Over the last 10 years, he's one of the best regular season pitchers. But over the last 100 years, he's one of the worst playoff pitchers. It's amazing the difference.
You think that the Red Sox have a chance?
In the series?
In the series.
Oh, yeah, absolutely they have a chance in the series.
And you seem to have...
Not in game two.
You seem to have softened somewhat on this because...
What do you mean? Oh, yeah. I'll tell you why.
Because they beat the Yankees.
Well, first of all, they beat the Yankees, but because Chris Sale...
Looks like Chris Sale again.
Close enough. Yeah, like Chris Sale is a guy that I can envision winning games for you in the series, where I didn't see that going into the Yankee series. I didn't expect that. So, because I've said all season long, David Price, come playoff time, doesn't matter. You don't need to rely on him. If he wins, great. It's amazing. It's the first time you've ever seen it. It's like a unicorn. But if he loses, you can make up for it with the other guys. And if Chris Sale wasn't 100%, I said, there's no way. Now you have Price and you have a hurt Sale. But the fact that Sale is healthy, I think it gives them a chance. Now matching him up potentially two games against Justin Verlander, I don't love that. Like, I'm still picking the Astros to win the series, but they absolutely have a chance. This is going to go six or seven games.
That's what we've got to look forward to. It starts tomorrow night at Fenway Park. It will be dry by then,
yeah,
but it's going to be cold. Which means Sunday nights.
David Price doesn't like the cold.
Going to be cold.
Ugh.
They've avoided mowing the lawn.
That's good.
They've cleared all the cats from the Fenway Back
dogs,
Bay area.
Get them out of there.
Well, cats more than dogs.
I mean, specifically cats.
Can't trust cats.
It's a bad scene.
So the only issue probably will be the cold. Now, fingers thing.
The other issue might be, I don't know, Alex Bregman. And Jose Altuve.
But if you have tingly fingers, you can't do the pitches that you need to get...
No, that's
executed
fair.
To get these guys out.
No, that's true. How are you feeling about the series?
Cautiously optimistic.
Okay, all right. Positive, Dale.
Well, there are some folks in this town who think they're going to get smoked in four or five games.
No, I don't see that.
Evan Drellick this morning on with the guys started out at five, Houston in five. Then he went, maybe four, and they made him lock in a number, and he said, okay, five.
So he's got Houston in five. Yeah, see, I think
he thinks that the only win for the Red Sox is going to come from Nathan Eovaldi.
I do like Nathan Eovaldi. I don't know if that's true, though. I mean, it's possible. The other thing that is a big benefit for the Red Sox is Carlos Correa is not 100%. If he was 100%, right, he's one of the best players in baseball. Like, all around, like, not just best young player, he's one of the best players in baseball. But he's been dealing with a back injury. He's not 100%. So if he's not the bat that he was, say, last year in the playoffs, you know, when he faced them, then that kind of... That weakens their lineup. They still have all those guys I mentioned before, plus others. But if Correa is in there more for his glove and, you know, they're just kind of fingers crossed with him at the plate, that gives the Red Sox a better chance.
There might be more animosity than we realized. According to the piece in USA Today, Bill Nightingale wrote it, A.J. Hinch and Alex Cora used to fight like cats and dogs.
Yeah, they did. But remember we were talking during the season with Cora, and he would still talk to A.J.
No, I think that they actually...
But they did. That was one of the
stories. They had that brothers, you know,
yes,
brothers fighting, yeah, you know, relationship.
Because when they first hired Cora, I remember reading those stories about how it'd be like vicious, you know, kind of fights with those guys, like screaming
at
each
other. Which, by the way, based on our very limited experience with Alex Cora, is a little tough for me to picture.
I could see him getting fired up.
I don't see him screaming and yelling at people, but apparently he does.
I could see the fire because a lot of people have said this. Not that it's a bad thing, but he still kind of carries himself like a player. Like, I think he's still there, and maybe A.J. Hinch does too. And then so I could see them butting heads if they disagree over something. Didn't A.J. Hinch get into a bar fight during the playoffs? Isn't that one of the stories?
Yeah, but the guy was asking for it.
It probably was.
Not A.J. Hinch's fault. You can't expect him to keep turning the other cheek.
Those guys can run hot with the best of them. I don't doubt it.
<You're kidding.
laughs> Sure, I like them both. Yeah, why not?
All right, we get to the calls with you guys. 617-779 793-7. This is a total aside. Weird, you know.
The Falls Count Anywhere Friday, Dale, so there's no such thing as an aside.
Can someone, anyone, explain our coffee machine to me?
Oh, it's like a computer. You know who could? Keith Law? That loser!
It's the size of a Kia Sorento.
It's enormous.
It sounds like a Boeing 747.
It's good on gas, just like a Kia.
So I tried to give it the shot here today, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to bean up a little bit. I need a good...
I noticed you came back empty-handed.
What? I got half a cup of coffee. I asked for the large.
You didn't get the large. There's no sizes.
The strong brew. Keith does point out, by the way, supposedly you can get either Dunkin' or Starbucks out of it. But we're pretty much convinced it's the same beans.
It's one pile of beans on the top. I'm like, how are they picking the two? I mean, it all tastes the same. Or you can get real wild and mix the two together. I'm like, mix what two? It's all one pile on top. I don't get it either. I try to stay away from it.
I've never had coffee in my life, but every time I'm in there, I always hear somebody complaining about
They're
it.
They're like looking at
what's going on.
That's why I go downstairs to the cafeteria.
I messed up. That's what I usually do, and I didn't do it today.
And one of the girls in promotions, like, I went to get a coffee and came back with a hot chocolate.
you don't know what you're going to get in there.
617-779-7937. It's a Falls Count Anywhere Friday, so you bring to the table whatever you want. We're happy to talk about it. And Rossi is going to run the gamut of wrestling themes all day long.
That's a promise.
That's a promise.
It's Middays with Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
La Raza.
Playing the hits. Playing the hits, taking requests. Stacks of wax.
Rest in peace.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Falls Count Anywhere Friday.
Sure
you know, I've done a little deeper dive here.
Oh, did you?
On the Astros and the Red Sox.
I thought you were going to say the coffee machine.
No.
I was waiting for that.
I've given up on that.
Okay, Sox, Astros.
So I'm trying to figure out why everybody thinks that the Astros are a significantly better team offensively than the Red Sox. They're not.
Oh, offensively?
Yeah. Their leading home run hitter, Alex Bregman, had 31 home runs. Had 103 runs batted in. The Red Sox had two guys with more home runs than that.
Yes.
They had two guys with as many or more RBIs as that. I mean, Xander Bogaerts has as many RBIs as Alex Bregman has.
Right. I think so. What I believe to be the case would be all the injuries that they had this year. I think that kind of jumps out. I think if you just look
at
the
lineup.
And
I got to be honest, you go down their batting order.
Yes.
They got some holes there, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, sort of the Red Sox, right?
I understand.
That's true. I mean, I just think you look at it, and again, I mentioned Carlos Correa may not be 100% anyway, but he played in 110 games. You know, Jose Altuve played in 137. So the only guy that played, I mean, Springer, he didn't play in 20-something games.
Their DH is hitting .226.
That's not great. But I just think that their four or five best guys match up pretty well with the Red Sox four or five best guys, and they have a bunch of guys that did it in the postseason last year, too. Right? I mean, the Red Sox, I think anybody will take the Red Sox 1-4. Now, I mean, I guess it depends on where they move Pierce or whatever. But if you're taking Betts, Benintendi, Martinez, and Bogaerts, that's as good as anybody else's. I mean, you could the Astros.
It's better than the Astros.
It doesn't matter.
It's
Dodgers,
better.
Brewers.
It's better.
Maybe. I don't know. Springer, Altuve. Actually, you know what? I'll give it to you. It is better because
Betts, Benintendi, Martinez. I don't even care who you put fourth.
Bogaerts.
Just for the sake of argument.
I think because Correa is not 100%, I'll give it to you. Because Altuve, and I'm not just looking at this year's numbers. I'm looking at, you know, what they did in the postseason last year, what they're currently doing in the postseason this year. What did Springer have? 3 home runs in 3 games against the Indians? Like, they have guys that can... Yeah, I could smash. So
now the advantage I'll give you is at catcher, but Max Stassi's hitting .226 with 8 home runs and 27 runs batted in, so he's not blowing Sandy Leon away.
No,
assuming Sandy Leon's your catcher.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I mean, you got to give him. They were pretty impressive in the 3-game sweep of the Indians. You know, and I think that might speak.
I think the Indians were a little overrated.
Well, I mean, it looks like they were now, huh?
I think the Red Sox just disposed of a terrific offense.
Yeah. I mean, they had in the series Springer, Bregman, Marwin Gonzalez, Josh Reddick, and Tyler White all hit over 400 for the series.
And against Cleveland.
Against Cleveland.
And Cleveland did not execute at all.
But I would take every one of Cleveland's starters over David Price.
Now, there's where, well, ahead of David Price.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take them all ahead of Chris Sale.
No, I wouldn't take any of them over Chris Sale, but I would take them all over the guys that the Red Sox have, you know, 2 through 4.
Right.
You know, I mean, I thought Houston was definitely better than Cleveland. I didn't maybe think to a 3-game easy sweep. I thought that was going to be a more competitive series.
And the Red Sox only went one more game than that. And they disposed of the Yankees, a much better team than Cleveland was.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Cleveland, I thought with Terry Francona, with some of the guys they have in their rotation, and even their bullpen, the moves that they made, I thought they were going to be tougher. They weren't. But this is the two best teams. I mean, this was the series that everybody was hoping for.
And we think the winner of this is the winner of the World Series.
Absolutely.
Despite all the Dodger fans out there.
Right.
Jason Fall River. Hey, Jay.
Hey, what's going on, boys?
What's up?
I'm all right. Hey, if you guys were to put together like a top 5 non-Poppy clutch moments in Boston, I think you guys should throw this one in here, and I haven't heard you guys mention it. 13 ALCS, Lackey Verlander.
Sure. I mean, John Lackey was another guy that was not a lot of people liked him, but he was pretty clutch. Well, I mean, going back to
his
rookie
year. Why he got everybody back on his side.
Remember with the Angels? I mean, he right away, like, he's another postseason pitcher. But again, he had that in him. I mean, David Price, we haven't seen it yet. I don't know what he's saving it for. He's had a lot of chances.
To trot it out here
Sunday night. ALCS, maybe that's what he wanted to do.
617-779-7937. We'll talk to Devin McCourty. Sometime next hour. We will talk to Michael Irvin at 11:30. I do know that. And Kiefer Madness, noon 30 today is the week in review. We got a lot of stuff there.
Oh, we sure do.
We had to whittle it down.
We did.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.